Corinthians chapter 8. I told you we were going to be in 2 Corinthians all weekend. And so last night we were in chapter 9 and talked about having an unnecessary missions conference. I hope you got the message out of that one. And tonight we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I've already enjoyed just one night of the missions conference. The dinner was great. Nothing like loading up on ham and fried chicken before you preach. Amen. Now I'm ready to go. But I enjoy being at this missions conference in particular because we've got family here. And I, of course, have so many connections here at Bible Baptist Church. And I'm always counting it a privilege to come and to give back to the church that has invested so much into me and my family. And a highlight this year for me is that my wife gets to be with us this year. So I'm glad she's here. And I really enjoy getting to know the different missionaries. And it's just amazing. One of the things I enjoy is just hearing their stories of how the Lord worked in their lives to bring them together, to get them to their mission field. I'm telling you, it's just none of it happens by accident. I look at what the Lord did in my life and how he brought Megan and I together, and it's amazing to see the Lord work in different ways. And then I hear the Guzmans and how the Lord brought them together, and then how he led them to the Yucatan from somebody right on their street there in Garden City. And then what a joy just to get to know Brother Casey Ray and his wife Kamala, and just hearing her story as well as we were eating dinner downstairs. And just the amazing way that the Lord brought the gospel to her and then brought her to the States, and then just how he worked in bringing the two of them together. It's just amazing to hear people's backstory and to see how so many things in our life are things that God has orchestrated. Aren't you glad that God's involved in our lives in that way? It's just amazing, but it's exciting to hear different stories. And so let's go ahead and jump into the message tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we're going to read the first four verses to get started here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, follow along here, verse 1, the Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit." If you don't know what that word means, it means to know or to understand. So he says, we want you to understand something. We want you to know something. "We do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." Now, that last phrase we just saw there, that ought to ring a bell, right? Because that's where we were last night, talking about the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. But I want to draw your attention back to verse 2. Look at the beginning of verse 2. He says, "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded." And what I want to preach to you tonight is this thought or this truth: multitasking missions. Multitasking missions. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, it is good to be saved, good to be in church, and Lord, we've already been blessed, we've been helped, encouraged, presented with some very unique mission fields last night and tonight. We're thankful for that. Father, I ask that you would please be actively working among us tonight, that the Spirit of God would challenge us, convict us, keep our attention on the text in front of us and the message that needs to come across tonight. Father, I can't handle it, Lord. It's beyond me. It's more than what I can do justice to the text. I need your help, Lord. And so I pray that you would please just help me to make the message clear and distinct. And as I honor your word, I pray that you would honor it by applying it to each and every heart. For myself, Lord, I simply ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight. I ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. An elderly Christian man once sat down to write a letter, and he did something that was very unusual for him in that he, as he wrote this letter, began to really open up and share some of his very deep and personal burdens and challenges in the ministry. And as he began writing this letter, he paused in the middle of the letter. Strange thing, he began to change course in what he was writing about. And he all of a sudden began to write about the need and the principles of giving. That man was the Apostle Paul. That letter was 2 Corinthians. What you find is that more than any other of Paul's writings, more than any other of Paul's letters, 2 Corinthians is the most heartfelt writing that Paul ever sat down to give. One commentator put it this way. He said, it was written with a quill dipped in tears. And we see that. Keep your place there in 2 Corinthians 8. Let's jump back to chapter 2 and notice chapter 2, verse 4. And we're going to pretty much spend all of our time here in 2 Corinthians tonight. But just to give you an idea, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and notice verse 4. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 4. Paul says, for out of much what? Say it with me. Affliction. Out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. And so throughout this letter, he's pouring his heart out. He's shedding tears. He's revealing his struggles in a way that he never has before. But what's really weird to me, what's really strange as you read chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, he's just pouring out his heart and just sharing his burdens. It just seems strange that in the middle of such a letter, he devotes two whole chapters to giving. It's almost like Paul is talking about the personal afflictions and the difficulties he's going through, and then all of a sudden he stops in the middle of it and says, okay, let's take up an offering. But that's exactly what he does. Can I just tell you that shift in that theme and that quick turn of thoughts is not accidental. He does it on purpose because in that very action, there is a great lesson for you and I to learn. What Paul is doing in the very style of the way he writes this letter, he's demonstrating a profound truth of great importance that you and I are going to need to learn. If we haven't learned it yet, we're going to need to learn it in implementing the work of missions and in general, the work of God. As you read through this letter and as we get into this message tonight, you know what the first thing we really need to acknowledge? Paul says, I do you to wit, right? What is it we need to know? What is it we need to understand? And I know this is going to come as a shock to you. We all suffer afflictions. Amen? Amen. Amen. Paul had affliction. His missionary work that he did was no easy task. I want you to look at chapter 1, verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and notice verse 8. He says, chapter 1, verse 8. Look at it. He says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of what? Our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of this life. You see, at this time, Paul was going through one of the darkest times in his life. He had started the Church of Corinth, and at this point, the Church of Corinth was pretty much rebelling against him, revolting against his leadership. And the churches that he had started in Galatia, they were beginning to follow a strange gospel, a perverted gospel, a twisted gospel. And also at this time, he had just recently escaped with his life out of a mob at Ephesus. And so all of these things are happening in his ministry and in his life. And the verse says these things were weighing down on him. Did you see that in the verse? He says, we were pressed out of measure. You understand what it means to be depressed? You see that word? Depressed. What's going on? The cares of life, the fears of life, the worries are pressing down on you. And when you allow those things to press down on you so much, you become depressed. And he says, we were so pressed out of measure that we despaired of life. He said, I don't want to live anymore. That's pretty extreme, isn't it? I mean, you look at people today that deal with suicidal ideation and thoughts of taking their own life, and you say, man, that you must be really bad to get to that point. Paul was at that point. And not because of any sin or wickedness or wrongdoing that he had done. The cares of the ministry and the struggles of serving the Lord. He was pressed. He was despairing. And on top of all this, he was dealing with health problems. When you get to chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, he talks over and over again about my infirmities, my infirmities, my infirmities. So what we're seeing in all of this is he writes this letter. He sits down and he's got health problems and he's got personal struggles and he's dealing with struggles in the ministry. It's a perfect storm of problems. And all these afflictions have built up like a storm cloud hovering above him, and it just all of a sudden begins to dump down on him at one time. You ever been there? Yeah, when everything, I talk to folks at my church, and everything will be going fine for a while, and then all of a sudden it just seems like all at once. And I call them up, and I sit and talk with them, and just look at all the problems going on in their life. And I always say the same thing to them: when it rains, it pours. I mean, when things start to happen, it just seems to all happen at once. That's where Paul is. Everything's falling down. But what is so amazing is in the middle of this, I can just picture. Can you picture the Apostle Paul? He's sitting in the corner of that room with his quill in hand, with that paper in front of him, and literally tears are dripping down across his face and his cheeks, and he's pouring his heart out. And then in the middle of that letter, he has the presence of mind to say, we need to minister to the saints. In the midst of his affliction. And then he begins to talk about, as soon as he starts chapter 8, he begins to talk about the fact that the Macedonians had afflictions. I pointed it out, but look at it again in chapter 8. He begins to write about giving and the principles of giving. As I mentioned last night, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 are the premier passage that lay out the principles on giving for all forms of giving in the New Testament. But he doesn't start by just jumping into giving. He starts by talking about the great trial of affliction that the Macedonians are going through. Verse 1, he says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Notice how that in a great trial of affliction. Do you notice that? Hey, have I got your attention? Not before the great trial of affliction. Not after they had gone through the great trial of affliction. In. They're still in the middle of this great trial of affliction. Whatever great trial of affliction they were going through, it apparently had left them in deep poverty. Deep poverty. Now, it may be as Christians living in Philippi and in Macedonia, they had had to suffer for their faith. They had been persecuted. Maybe they had lost jobs. Maybe they had lost business. Maybe they had been ostracized from their family or ostracized from the community. But whatever was happening, they were going through a great trial of affliction, and it left them in deep poverty. But they still ministered to the saints in a great trial of affliction. And who's Paul writing to? Corinth, right? Corinth, on the other hand, we talked about it last night, had wasted an entire year without giving to the work of God. We saw it last night, but look at it again, verse 10. We're in chapter 8. Look down at verse 10. And he says in verse 10, and herein I give my advice, For this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago, verse 11, now therefore perform the doing of it. Corinth had promised, I don't want to repeat last night's message, but Corinth had promised a year ago that they would give to the work of the Lord. Now a year has passed, they've wasted a year without giving. Why the delay? Why did Corinth take so long? Because Corinth was a spiritually weak church. I like what one writer says. He says, when a church is not spiritual, it's not generous. But I tell you what, when you can find a church that is spiritual, you will find a generous church. Folks, let's be honest tonight. We all have afflictions. I try to be a nice guy. I try to be a nice pastor. And sometimes people come to me and they say, Pastor, I have anxiety. And I don't say this because I'm a nice pastor, but it goes through my mind. I want to say, welcome to the club. We all have anxiety. We all are pressed down. And without even sitting down and having a full-on conversation with each of you, I guarantee, I know that every one of us walks into this church tonight and we're carrying some burden of some size, of some sort. That's the world we live in. We live in a broken world with heartaches, with affliction. And I know there's folks that walk in here tonight and some of you are dealing with health problems. And some may be dealing with family problems. And some may be dealing with financial problems. And some may just be weighed down and you don't even know what it is that's got you discouraged, but it's just you're going through something. None of us are here tonight because we have gotten a reprieve from problems. We're not here because, oh, finally I get a break. That means I can go to the missions conference. No, we walk in here tonight with burdens. We carry the cares of life on our hearts. But folks, what I want to show you tonight, and the message is very simple, and it is this: the work of God does not pause while we deal with problems. And I want us to go back to the beginning of this letter, because Paul makes a very important statement. Go back to chapter 2. Go back to chapter 2, and I want you to see what Paul says here. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. If you're there, say amen. Paul says this. He says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Christian, I want to help you tonight. We should not be ignorant of this thing. The devil has a lot of devices. He has a lot of strategies. He has a lot of tactics, and he's always trying to think up more to hinder the work of God. But here is one of his tactics. And it is that he's trying to consume our attention. If the devil, watch this, if the devil can get us so absorbed with our own problems to the end that the work of God gets neglected, he gets the advantage. That's the wording that the verse uses, that we are not ignorant of his devices, lest he should get an advantage. So what the devil does, one of his devices is that if he can get you to become so absorbed, so focused, and get your head down on the problem that you're facing and the trial that you're going through, that you can actually walk into a missions conference and be so focused on that thing that none of the preaching, it just goes right past you. There's your heart, and there's God's word, and he's trying to get the message of missions and the burden of missions and the truth of missions, but you can't focus because you're so focused on that problem back at home, that problem in your bank account, That problem with your child, that problem with whatever, you fill in the blank. And the devil is a wily adversary. He knows how to trip us up. But we should not be ignorant. When he gets us to get so focused on our problems to the neglect of God's work, what happens? God's work is stalled. God's work is delayed. God's work is even set aside while we focus on personal challenges. Well, let me ask you, as this is going on, does the devil's work stop? No. Because I've seen so many Christians get sidelined because they say, well, Pastor, I can't. I would love to be at church. I would love to be at Saturday visitation. I would love to be involved. But you don't understand the problems I'm going through. Yes, I do. Because I still have to get up and preach, and I still serve the Lord, and I'm still coming to church. But it doesn't mean that I am doing it because I have a lack of problems. Every one of us, from the pastor to the assistant pastor, to the pastor's wife and the assistant pastor's wife, to those that are working down in junior church, and every one of us walk into this place and we carry afflictions and we carry burdens. But the work of God does not get set on pause while we deal with those problems. And here's the lie of the devil. Best way to deal with lies is to expose them and to speak the truth in the face of them. And so let's first of all identify the lie. Here's the lie the devil wants to convince every one of us. We can't do both. We cannot deal with the inward work and the inward struggles that we're going through and also deal with the outward work of God. Well, I've got to take a break. I know missions conference is going on. I know we got to fill out those faith promise cards. I know there's outreach going on at Bible Baptist, but I can't be involved because I have. Sorry, folks. We all have. Every one of us. We all deal with affliction. And what the devil is trying to convince us of is that we have to pause our efforts, our involvement, our contributions into the work of God, because we have to focus on these challenges. And the lie of the devil is that we can't handle both. But here's the truth. You ready? God fully intends for the inward work and the outward work to be done simultaneously. He fully intends. This is God's plan. God fully intends for that inward personal work to be going on and for you to be involved in that outward ministry as well. Simultaneously. In tandem. You ever seen those tandem bikes? All right, those bikes for two people. All right, and you got the one with the handlebars and he's pedaling, and then the person behind them, they're pedaling, and they're both pedaling at the same time. You know what that is? That's multitasking. That's two things happening at one time. And that's what I'm trying to explain to you tonight. The inward work of God developing you and the outward work of doing the work of the Lord in outreach and soul winning and missions work, they are to be done in tandem. They're to be both pedaling at the same time, always. And I want you to see this in Scripture because we find both happening in 2 Corinthians. In the scope of the book, we see that Paul personally is going through afflictions and the Macedonians are going through the afflictions, but Paul contrasts himself and the Macedonians against the Corinthians. And what do you see? You see Paul and the Macedonians, while still in affliction, they're involved in the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. But the Corinthians do what? Well, we're just going to put that on pause for a year while we take care of internal struggles, internal issues. You know how many churches have died because they put the work of God on pause while they dealt with internal things? Well, we're going to have to put our missionary support on pause. We're going to have to put our visitation on pause. We're going to have to put all our outreach efforts on pause while we take care of, no. God fully intends for both to be done at the same time. This is spiritual multitasking. So we see that in the scope of the book, but we see that even as we read through the book. I want you to see the inward working. Look at chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look down at verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the, what's the next two words? Inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, there's that affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh. Works for who? For us. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Do you see what we just read? There's that affliction. And what is that affliction doing? It's working. That's hard. It's so easy to preach this. It's so hard to really grasp it with our hearts and practically. Because we know these things. Christian, don't we know these things? We know. What is the purpose of trials? It's to work out things in our life. But when we're going through it, it's a different story. And Paul says, listen, in view of the grand scheme of what God is doing, this is a light affliction. And this light affliction is working a far greater purpose. Whatever you're going through tonight, whatever it is you're facing in your family, in your finances, with your health, whatever struggles are going on, God is allowing that affliction in your life because He's trying to work. What is He working? He's working in you. That inward man. That is what trials are meant to do. This work on the inward man, listen to me tonight. The work done on the inward man is meant to do a transformative work of developing our character. And as God is doing that inward work, there is an outward work that is supposed to be happening at the same time. Look at the next chapter, chapter 5, verse 18. Chapter 5, verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us, what? What has He given to us? The ministry of reconciliation. To wit, there's those words again, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You understand what we just read there? We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. We've been given the word of reconciliation, that God in Christ on the cross on Calvary was reconciling a lost world to Himself, but now Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and so you and I are here in Christ's stead. We are in Christ's place, and we're trying to reach a hand out to the world as we keep a hand on God, and we're trying to bring them to God. That is that ministry of reconciliation. These two works, the constant inward working of that inner man and that outward work of the ministry of reconciliation, are two works that are to be constantly, actively going on at the same time. And Christian, you better be aware tonight what the devil is trying to do to trip you up and to trip me up is to get us so honed in on that problem that that problem becomes everything. Folks, I'm speaking to you from the Word of God, and I'm speaking to you from experience. That when we get so focused on that person, that problem, that trial, that struggle, to the neglect of God's work, the devil wins. The devil wins. You know, I always pulled pastors out of the pulpit, Christians out of the church, missionaries off the field. You know how the devil trips up and draws people out of church because they get to a point where I just can't do both. Amen? I can't do both. And I want to tell you tonight, that's a lie of the devil. The lie of the devil is that you can't do both, but God, through Jesus Christ, has created you to do both. I want to encourage you tonight that God, by His power and His grace, has created within you an inward man that He is developing daily and renewing daily, and at the same time wants to work through you to do a ministry of reconciliation. He's committed it unto you, and God wants to do both at the same time. There's a wonderful illustration of this concept, and we find it in the book of Nehemiah. Let's jump back to Nehemiah and we'll close with this. I love the fact that so often in Scripture, deep and profound truths in the New Testament are so often illustrated in the Old Testament. And we find this truth of this simultaneous outward and inward work of the Lord demonstrated for us in, it's just such a simple illustration. Nehemiah chapter 4. And if you don't know, the book of Nehemiah is all about the building of the wall around the city of Jerusalem. And so in Nehemiah chapter 4, they're building this wall. But at the same time, they're facing some personal challenges because the enemy keeps attacking them and trying to trip them up and trying to discourage and to make their hands feeble in the work. So what do they do? Notice chapter 4, verse 17. Nehemiah 4, verse 17. They which build it on the wall, and they that bear burdens. Are you carrying a burden tonight? They're building, they're bearing burdens with those that laid it. Notice, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, with the other hand held a weapon. Isn't that beautiful? One hand for work and the other for a weapon. You know what you call that? Multitasking. And they've got a hammer or a shovel or a pickaxe or whatever tool it is, they're building. And in the other hand, they're holding a sword. You say, what's going on? They're building and battling. Battling and building. Christian, that's a beautiful picture of what we're talking about here tonight. They did not set down the sword in order to pick up the shovel. They did not set down the shovel in order to pick up the sword. They held the shovel and the sword, one in each hand. And that's an encouragement, folks, to you and me tonight, that we have to still keep that sword in hand. We've got to fight those personal, spiritual challenges and not neglect the work. We are to be battling and building at the same time. Let's stand to our feet as we close tonight. It may not seem It may not seem like much of a missions message, but here's what we understand. In order for missions work to be done, it involves people. And if we're going to continue in the work, we've got to address the people that are so essential to the work. And I'm glad that we have a God that does not just gloss over your problems. Do you hear me tonight? God's not just glossing over your problems and saying, just suck it up and do my work. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I'm aware of your afflictions. But child, I want you to develop the ability to bear those burdens and fight with that sword and still do my work.